Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Jim Lee.
.837 Galesburg Live on WGIL, second half of our discussion with Ray Deffenbaugh, the president and CEO of Big Rivers Resources Ethanol, our guest here on this Saturday. And Ray, looking forward to talking a little bit about the scope of operations. You know, Big River, we talked about, got started over there in West Burlington, Iowa. You've expanded there. And of course, we talk with Jim Anderson at North & Company every week, and his business right in the shadows of the Galva facility. And this thing has grown at a nice rate, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, I don't think our board or myself or the investors look at size to be, look how big we are and look how fantastic we are. But we've always looked for opportunity for growth and more efficiencies. And we might look at a large number of things every year. And if we can find just one of those that is worth looking into or following up on, then that's we've accomplished our goal. We started out as a 40, and that 40 we were able to find 40 million gallons a year. And by the way, the industry is producing over 1.05 million gallons, 1.05 million gallons of ethanol a day. Now translate that into corn and ask what that would do to the corn market if you didn't have that. But that aside, while it's on my mind, I thought I would mention that.
Well, that's an important message you take to Washington, too.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That's right. I met with the governor here a week or so ago, and we also passed that message on there because there's some legislation there that would help ethanol, and he was very receptive to that. So, and it would help the state, and it's non-political, Republican or Democrat. So we started out at a 40, and that was the efficiencies brought us to 56 with that original plan. And then we doubled that up. We can make about 120 or so at that one plant. And then we were working on Galva. Galva's a really interesting subject and fond in my heart, because those fellows up in the Galva community, those farmers and those community leaders and bankers and so forth, they wanted an ethanol plant. And they kept working and working and working to get it. And a lot of people would have become discouraged at one time, but they didn't, and they stuck with it. And they met with me to see if we could want to combine forces and see what we could get done. We did. We thought that it was a worthy cause, bought the rail loader that was in there, that group did, and then formed the Galva plant.
And it's the biggest one right now, isn't it, as output?
It's one of the biggest ones. We've got another one at Dyersville.
I forget about those that are outside of the region, yeah.
Yeah. So the Field of Dreams in Dyersville.
Yeah.
And, you know, each location has its synergy, and corn price is one of them. You get further north, and the basis is different. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit cheaper corn, but then there's some transportation differences as well. So then we did Dyersville. Dyersville was already built. We bought it out. You know, there's a misconception that just because you were raised in the Dakotas or Illinois that you know something about farming or grain. And of course, grain is the primary thing that we're doing. And if you don't know risk management, you're probably not going to succeed in this volatile market of ethanol.
Such a cyclical business.
So Verison got on the wrong side of the market, and they lost all their plants. And we bought that plant that was in Dyersville. And then there was a group of farmers in Boyceville, Wisconsin that had formed a plant. But they had some outside investors, and the outside investors, generally capital, venture capital, they want to be in 5 years and then sell out. Well, the farmers, there was a little downturn in ethanol at that time, and the farmers were a little hesitant to go in debt to buy out the venture capitalists. So they came to us and wanted to know if we were interested or would be interested. And so we did, and it's been a really good plant as well. So we do have four plants, and then there's another plant up in St. Ansgar It's near the Minnesota border, right kind of up against the Minnesota border. I helped give them advice on that, and they asked me to be on the board. So there's five plants that we're involved with.
How about Grinnell? I see that mentioned too.
There was two things that we weren't really successful with for various reasons. One was Grinnell, and we had all the phase one dirt work done, but there was a guy, a trucker up there that resisted it and took it to court, and he didn't want an ethanol plant. It was as simple as that. He said it would raise the wages for the truckers that he hired, so he didn't want the wages raised. The farmers wanted it badly, but so he took it to court, and it tied up in court until the government changed the rules that you couldn't get the RINs to build it. So it's still a good project, and we may build something there yet. But it was really kind of one person that threw a monkey in the wrench. And by the time, if you realize how long it took, they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. I think it only cost him $50 each time he moved it up. Took it all the way to the Supreme Court, but he chewed up enough time that it became just couldn't by government regulations. And the other one was down in Quincy, and we were moving forward on that. I'll never forget that. We were meeting in a warehouse of the Goldsteins down there on the river, and showed up at the meeting one night, and the warehouse was clear full of people. They did have ropes in their hand, it seems, and they were clear out into the middle of the street. And I thought, now what in the world is this? And oh, boy, we're opposed to this ethanol. Why are you opposed to it? And a lawyer was there, and he had borrowed a baby that he held in one hand above the whole crowd and said, we're doing this for this child right here, he said. Wasn't even his child. Why? What's the problem here? Because if you build this plant, there'll be trucks coming in here, and our kids like to play on the streets, and we don't like that. I thought, well, golly, I perceive you don't want an ethanol plant. And they says, it's just like throwing gas on a fire. Whoosh. No, we don't. And he had them all charged up. And sure. I says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a man of my word. Mm-hmm. You won't get one from us.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to go where you're not wanted, I guess.
No, huh? It's hard enough to build it where you can have the support. And really, it was a sad thing because it's like so many of those minority views. They had just charged up a small minority of the people that showed up and resisted. The vast majority of the people wanted it down there. But with any kind of resistance, then we found out from Grinnell, you get it tied up in the courts, and it just waste a lot of energy, waste a lot of time, waste a lot of capital fighting a needless fight.
Yeah, so. Meanwhile, in the communities you're at, 249 team members I was showing on your website employed. So that's a good boost for the economy.
Yeah, it is. The money that's put in, it's really good. I think I got some data on that I could share with you, maybe.
I thought you just might.
Yeah. Well,
and you know, not only the you know, we're talking about the production facilities, but also I just live right down the street from what used to be the Monmouth Grain and Dryer, and and that was a great fit there.
Yeah.
What's that been, 8 or 10 years ago now that you bought that out?
We expanded further into the elevator business. So we have six grain facilities to store the corn, help the farmers not only sell to Big River, but wherever the market is the best for the farmers. But there was a research project done by Western Illinois University in Macomb, and this was some of the data that we presented to the governor when we met with him. But At Galva, that's just the one plant, the employment and operations generate $517 million in sales and productions of goods and services. So there are 1,440 full-time, part-time jobs of about $86.2 million. We grind about 44 million bushels of corn. So take that out of the market and see what it would do to the prices. It's about almost $156 million worth of corn that we buy.
You'd have to beat the bushes for some other big export markets, wouldn't you?
We produce 126 million gallons for about $155 million worth of revenue there. And 330,000 tons, or almost $42 million worth of DDG, and 4 million gallons of corn oil that goes into feed and biodiesel. So it adds a lot to the community. A lot of people don't realize just how much it does. And it isn't just the ethanol. It's the whole thing that's associated with the livestock people, the grain people, the workers, and the people that add to the additional outside work. Jen Smith.
The DDGs are huge because, you know, I know in the times where gasoline prices got so low here, they say that's and corn prices got so high that makes it tough on the actual ethanol market itself. But you've got this other commodity, the DDGs. Have they taken off even more than you envisioned, Ray, or has that been something you always thought was just that kind of insurance policy with the ethanol industry?
Well, I think that's an interesting topic because when we put our business plan together, you know, you have to have it for your investors and for the bank. Capital is required, and I'll touch on two points there. A lot of people capitalized at about 36 or 39%, and we capitalized to 54%. And people said, well, you're foolish because it cuts down on the dividends. But I always said I'd rather have a bigger share of success than a smaller share of success than a bigger share of failure. Yeah. And so it's like if I traveled to Galesburg from Biggsville area and I knew the fuel economy was such, I just put in enough to get here to perhaps buy cheaper fuel here and run onto headwind or whatever, I wouldn't make it. And that's what capital does for you. And so when a lot of these companies were failing, they ran onto the hard times. And, you know, through 45, 46 years of banking, I saw that some businesses could have lasted just a little while longer. They would have made it, but they didn't have the capital to really carry it through. So, yeah, that's
$7 corn is great for the farmer, but probably not great for the ethanol plant, I would
say. Well, a lot of people ask that question, and the truth of the matter is we made just as much on $7 and $8.
Really?
Yeah,
interesting.
Because the oil industry has ag economists hired, and they follow the corn price, and they adjust accordingly. So, yeah, we made just as much, maybe a little more. And you want to remember, we're the only industry that was put together there not to lower the price of corn, not to steal the corn from the farmers, to raise the price of corn. So when the corn was $7 and $8, you didn't hear any complaints from Big River. Mm-hmm. We were making money, and it was doing what it was supposed to do. Now, we got the blame for the high-priced corn from some in the livestock, the national, the state, and local livestock people were very supportive of it. But the national, oh, every time you'd walk into a legislator's office, they'd say, well, they just left the national pork or the national. And they built a business model based on cheap corn. It was a poor business model, and it wasn't really a wise business model because if you're basing it on cheap corn and the farmer can't make the money, where are you going to get your corn? You know, somebody's always going to produce it, but are you going to buy it from here or where, you know? And so that's the struggle we faced, and we've caught the blame, and you've heard the food for fuel argument.
That was just where I was going. I don't hear it as much now, but
no,
there for a while.
It's been dispelled. Yeah. Universities have dispelled it, and then it was a fancy Madison Avenue. In fact, the fellow that came up with that slogan, which was a pretty cute little slogan, very effective against ethanol, but we hired him in the ethanol world to come up with a similar slogan for us. He hasn't come up with quite as good a one, but
but yeah, another one of those things, like you said, it gets people fired up.
Yeah,
just a little bit of knowledge, and then they take off.
Of politics involved, yeah. And the thing of it is, it's working. You know, we just had a board meeting Wednesday, and we're going to issue $2,500 a share to our co-op members. And so the LLC will get $1,500. And the reason is the difference there is the LLC split 3-for-1 and the co-op didn't, but it still translates into the same dividend type thing. So
it's 8:51 on WGIL's Galesburg Live. We're talking with Ray Deffenbaugh, the president and CEO of Big River Resources. He'll be speaking out at the Knox County Farm Bureau's annual meeting a little bit later this morning. You mentioned politics. Well, obviously, as much as maybe that's not your favorite thing to jump in and get involved with, it's nevertheless, especially in your line of work, something you have to deal with. And we've got a new president. We've got a new ag secretary. We'll have a new EPA chief. What are your thoughts on the way things are looking right now as far as some of these nominees and the new president?
Well, politics is one thing that a wise man won't discuss along with religion. So now you're sucking me into one of the no-discuss areas. But, yeah, I'm not afraid to discuss it. Looking back, not taking partisan sides one way or another, but Gina McCarthy, I remember when she was appointed and the ag world thought she would be good, and you know about WOTUS, the waters of the U.S., and she had the philosophy, I heard her say it, and I've had several meetings with her. The farmer needs to come into the modern world. We got to bring him under our, under the thumb to make him. Well, that's what Russia did. That's what Moldova did, and it don't work. Centralized areas like that don't work. And we know about the advancing the river, upgrading the dams and so forth, and the Army Corps of Engineers and...
It's been such a long process. You just think you're going to get something done, and then there's no funding for it. And then,
So I guess looking back, it hasn't been pleasant. The EPA has been real restrictive. When we first built our first ethanol plant, compared to the rules now, the ethanol world wouldn't have moved forward. The rules, they just keep getting more stringent and more stringent. And so I'm thinking there's an element of maybe better times ahead. I'm hoping that the new administration doesn't do the WOTUS. I don't know anybody other than EPA, Gina McCarthy, that thought it was legal. It was outside what the legislators wanted. And so just following the rules that have been established will be a good thing, I think. Now, there is some concern about oil people and big business people and so forth, but... I think people make decisions based on their environment and based on what their situation is. And while they may have been associated with oil and perhaps were successful in that, I think their new responsibilities, they say sometimes, a job can create the person. They rise to the occasion. That happens with the Supreme Court and so forth. They might have one certain way of doing things and looking at the world, but when they get appointed or elected to a certain job, boy, that changes. So
sure.
I'm not, my crystal ball isn't any clearer than the next person's, but I'm hopeful that that they'll address agriculture in a more meaningful way. And if you want to get a permit for doing different things, whether it's in ethanol or agriculture, the delays are not good that's involved with the restrictions that are there now. So
yeah, we only have about 5 minutes left, and you could probably talk for 2 hours when I say renewable fuel standard. But just in a nutshell, where do you think that thing's headed? Do you think you're in pretty good shape in the new administration?
Well, I'll touch on two things. One you didn't mention, but the renewable fuel standard, there is some concern for, I guess, budget constraint reasons. The Republicans have generally been more unfriendly to RFS than the Democrats, although Grassley is as strong a supporter as you'd want, and he's a Republican. So it seems to be Republicans out of oil state.
I got to say, Iowa better be.
they're looking out for their constituents, I guess. But the other is there's kind of been a trade war, if you want to use that word somewhat loosely, going on with China and our USDA. And China did a study against us for anti-dumping of DDGs. And so we were one of three that were selected. They can do that every 5 years. And 5 years ago, we were involved in that as well. And they did put a tariff against the DDG. China was our biggest market, and it put it anywhere from 80 to 90% anti-dumping, countervailing duty. And then they put on the ethanol 30%. So that cuts into the market. But what a lot of people don't realize is one of the reasons they did that was they asked questions of our USDA, and they refused to answer it. And so, boom, who do you blame? Mm-hmm. We put over $1 million into it to get all the questions answered, but we can't control the government. I'm talking about Big River can't. And so, you know, they just put that duty against it, and we have to suffer. And then they came out with an announcement about 3 days before China did. And I'm on the board of the Grains Council, and we tried to just hold off on that. 3 days wouldn't make any difference. And it just seemed like there was an effort to punch China in the nose so that they would come through and do what they did. So that's my opinion, of course, but I'm pretty close to it on the various national scene, and that's the way I saw it, and that's the way it was.
Sure. Well, Ray, I see the motto of Big River is to improve and stabilize the agricultural economic resources of the multi-state region by establishing corn-based ethanol as the premier renewable fuel. Sounds like you guys have held pretty good to that mission statement, and it's done well for you.
It has, and early on, we had an official motion by the board that we're not for sale, because our idea was to provide jobs, put capital back into the community, and preserve the community. And if somebody outside the community buys Big River, then that sucking sound of sucking capital and wages, so it was just a temporary thing. And I had somebody call me once. You know, I use a Bluetooth because losing one hand in a farm accident. My kids didn't like me driving a semi and talking on the cell phone.
Makes sense.
So this guy says, Raymond, I can make you a very rich man. What's wrong with you? Why won't you sell? Why won't you contact me? I said, well, here's the problem. I got the best set of friends anybody'd want in the world. And I know me, if you make me rich, I'd become obnoxious and I'd lose my friends. Secondarily, nobody hates paying taxes worse than me, and you make me rich, and I got to start paying taxes. And why are you trying to destroy my life? And he hung up on me.
That's funny.
But see, he'd have never understood. We didn't put this together to make one person or one group rich. We put it together to preserve the community, preserve Western Illinois, preserve the farmer, preserve jobs. And that's our attitude. We're not for sale, and we're going to stay with
and that guy on the other end of the line probably tells that story every time. You met this one guy I called, you know what he told me? I bet you made an impression on him. So
right, what kind of kook is there involved with Big River Resources? He don't want to be wealthy.
Ray, it's been great. Usually we only have 5 or 10 minutes. It's great to be able to talk at length a little bit, and I know the folks out at the Farm Bureau will enjoy hearing from you today as well. And what will be the main focus of your message out there today?
Well, I will give a status of the ethanol and you know, what I intend to do and what it becomes. You'll have to ask somebody else whether I accomplished the purpose, but it's more of an upbeat message. I really think we have an awful lot to be thankful for, and try and concentrate on those good things that are happening and not get caught up in the negative things, because there'll always be negative things, always in agriculture. That I've been farming for over 54 years, and there's always something. Well, let's concentrate on the positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the older we get, we realize a lot of those controversies we get dragged into when you're younger, you just go, you know, they'll fade. So
yeah, there's only so much energy. Why waste it on the negative?
Amen. Thanks, Ray. Take care.
You bet, Jim.
All right, it's 9 o'clock at WGIL. News coming up in a minute.